Welcome to the Vineyard. For those of you who don't know or may have forgotten, my name is Happy Lehman. I used to be a really big wheel around here. Now I'm just a little wheel, and I love my job. I love you. I love this church. I love the kingdom of God. I love the fact that I actually get to wrap up this series on kingdom authority. Wow, what a series. I want to just recap 2 points. One, Adam and Eve were created with great authority. They lost it. Jesus, in the greatest story ever told, came and got it back, and he gives it to us, and we get to participate in continuing the mission that he started. Now, is that worth living for or not? That's the way it goes. Way to go. All right. I want to start with a little story. Back when I was a little boy, and I think they got a picture of me, I was kind of a, you know, that's my mom's heartthrob at that time. I later fell out of favor, but that's a whole other story. But when I grew up on a farm, and my parents' faith did not allow them to have television, so to keep me occupied, my mother offered me 10 cents a chapter to read the Bible. Now, before you snicker at that, that was 2 nickels, and a nickel bought a big candy bar. I'm really old, you know? So, We hardly could. I lived on a farm, so I couldn't really spend the money. So I was able to save lots of it. And it was starting my financial gift that I learned to develop at an early age. By the way, in case you think 10 cents is nothing, Di said she saw candy bars full size for $2.50 at a store the other day. So I feel sorry for you kids. You know, it was just nice back in the day when you could buy all that candy. Of course, we never ate it, but it was fun anyhow. Now, I was supposed to read straight through the Bible, but instead of doing that, I would tell my mom I did. I actually lied. I don't know if that's good or not, but I did. And I would simply read 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, and 1 and 2 Chronicles. It's all about the kings. And I just loved to read the kings. I didn't know that anybody did that but me, but I wanted to grow up to be a king. I figured that's a good job. I'll be a king. You know, my dad was a farmer. I didn't want to farm. I didn't want to be a fireman. Some of our kids wanted to be garbage men when they grew up because they saw the garbage man riding on trucks. I didn't want to do any of those things. I just wanted to be a king. But I didn't know that God was setting me up for a lifetime calling. Did you know that the Apostle John in Revelation writes in chapter 1, verses 5 and 6, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, he has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. Wait a minute here. Jesus Christ, the one who we honor, the firstborn from the dead, the great king of all the earth, he made us to be kings and priests. You know, I've heard a lot of messages about priests, but I've never heard anybody talk about kings. And then you just start getting confused. What do those mean in a Christian context? You know, your first thought of a priest is someone in a clerical robe, maybe Catholic, Episcopalian, various types of ministry people that wear robes. Generally nice guys. We think of kings as sort of tough tyrants, warriors. Not me when I was a king, you know, but that's just kind of a stereotype we get. So I'm unsure at this point if I fully understand kingship, or I doubt that many of you do. But today what I want to do is talk mostly about the king side or the royalty side of us rather than the priestly side or the servant side, okay? Just so we're clear, I think they're both important, but I want to talk about the kings. And so what does it mean when it says Jesus made us kings or made us a royal people? What do you think that means? And how is our kingship different from what I read about in the books that I mentioned in the Old Testament? Well, I can guarantee you it's going to be different. To start with, we were made in the image of a different king, King Jesus, who's righteous, holy, perfect, and kind. Peter describes it this way. You are a chosen people, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. That little phrase, royal priesthood, royal kingship, set apart, priesthood. So we're both at the same time. What are we called to do? We've been called out of darkness into light. We're to tell people about that. That sounds kind of like we're ambassadors of the great King. See, this job's getting more exciting all the time. So let's discover together what our King is like so we know how we can live as kings and royalty in this world. Our message is entitled, The King Who Redefined Kingship. This King, Jesus Christ, brought heaven to earth. Guess what we're to do? Bring heaven to earth as well. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we're in over our heads. We're talking about subjects we know very little about, and I'm asking you, Holy Spirit, to teach us. Show us what's up, where we're going, what we're doing, and what we're to do about what we learn. Help us to live as a royal people, a royal priesthood, kingly people under the great King, in Jesus' name. I'm going to make a statement. It'll be on the screen. I want you to put this up somewhere in your house. You are saved for more than heaven. Most people know they've been, that are Christians, know they've been washed clean. They're going to heaven someday. But a lot of us get confused. What do we do in the meantime? Some of us are just hanging on for dear life. Some of us are trying all kinds of things. But we're saved for more than heaven. You know, the point of my message, we are saved to walk in the authority that Jesus Christ gave us from now until he comes to take us or until we pass away. We have a job to do. That's our assignment. See, we've heard about this. We talk about authority. This whole series has been on authority. So we kind of get a little bit confused. You know, as a baby boomer, authority means I take control, I'm in charge, do what I say. Some of you other generations have a different view of it, but I know I have a lot to grow up in my understanding of authority. I suspect we probably all do. Sometimes we try to manufacture authority, and we know that we got to get close to God, so we're going to worship harder, we're going to pray more, we're going to give more, we're going to serve more. We're like trying to work it out, but the kingdom is about grace. He does it through us instead of us trying to get to it. And if we're not careful, we'll put our own effort into this thing and it will simply go the wrong way. And then we ultimately realize, wait, we have authority, but it's not over people per se. It's over an enemy named Satan and his dominions. And so we have to keep everything in focus here. It's not our efforts that get it, and it's not people we're controlling. It's the enemy we're defeating. Those are huge, huge variations. So how do we walk in authority as the kings? First of all, we need a revelation of the gospel. We got to understand something, because you don't understand, you can't possibly do. Paul writes this about the amazing gift of our salvation and our transformation in Romans 5:17. He says, for if because of one man's trespass, meaning Satan here, death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in kings as in this life through one man, Jesus Christ? Two Adams. The first Adam we got in trouble with. The second Adam, much more than undid what he did. See, listen to these words. There's authority. There's power here. See, this is true for every Christian. You received an abundance of grace. That's how you got saved. But abundance of grace doesn't stop at salvation. It flows through your life every day. The abundance of grace to do what we're called to do. And then what do you get? You get the free gift of righteousness. You're made perfect before the Father so that you can be in union with him. You can walk with him. You can understand him. You can partner with him. You can be what he called you to be. And he calls you to be royalty or a king under him. See, we reign in this life. We overcome. We are already kings. Many of us are waiting to go to heaven for something good to happen. Newsflash, you already entered into eternity right now when you said yes to Jesus. Eternity began for you. You're just living out. You're going to change location someday, but you're not waiting for anything. It's here. Unfortunately, lots of us live as unworthy, woe is me. I don't have anything going for me. I'm an orphan. We're going to talk about orphans and royalty as we go along today, because those two things will make a big difference. Certainly a growth area for me. I suspect it's a growth area for you, because I'll see progress in my life and then I'll slip back and I'll start getting into orphan thinking. And I have a very good reminder. In addition to the Holy Spirit, I have the woman over here that will remind me every now and then, that's not thinking the way you're supposed to be thinking. And as you think, you're going to be. Second of all, we need to know that kingdom authority comes in another way other than sort of a ruthless rule, heavy power. We're going to dominate. It's always spiritual, and it's always focused towards Satan. It's submitting to the king, and then you receive a supernatural source of authority. It just begins to flow in you. Paul writes it this way in Acts, whether I live or die is unimportant. It's more important for me to fulfill my destiny and finish the ministry my Lord Jesus has assigned me, which is to faithfully preach the wonderful news of God's good grace, Acts 20:24. See, the destiny we have been given is to live as he lived. The ministry he's given is what he's given us is what he started. We need to understand that so we can understand how we're going to flow with the Holy Spirit. He's our partner, lives in us. He came to help us live it out. Remember, we don't have our own ministries. We're just continuing what he started. He started something pretty amazing, bringing heaven to earth. And that phrase, heaven to earth, you know, it doesn't appear in the Bible as such, but remember the Lord's Prayer? You're praying that the will of the Father be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we're trying to bring God's will onto planet earth. God's will is that we walk in his authority, we act like Jesus, we do the things he did, and we take on the real enemy. Now, having said all that, let me just remind you of a couple things. This isn't some random New Testament idea or something that the Vineyard baked up and is serving out as a holiday dish. From the very beginning, God wanted humans to reign. We've talked about this, but in Genesis 1, it says this, God created man in his image, in the image of God he created him, male and female he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over it, the fish of the sea, the birds of the heavens, and everything that moves on the earth. So dominion and rulership are in the very beginning of the plan. They're to steward his authority and rule. They're to take the presence of God wherever they go. It's interesting, if you study through the book of Genesis, even Abraham is told that he'll be the father of many nations and many kings will rise up. Who's those kings he's talking about? We are. We're the kings that come out of believing, the children of God. See, we were meant to be kings who would steward the creation, priests who would carry the presence. We talk a lot about presence, but we need now to talk about stewarding the authority that he's given us. Unfortunately, when Adam and Eve sinned, everything got twisted. Kings started taking over. Priests got a little bit corrupt. Humanity started to get a little bit contorted. In fact, if you talk about corruption, you go in the Old Testament, I can almost tell you all the kings by memory, but the nation of Israel split into Israel and Judah at one point. Every king in the larger portion, which was called Israel, was an evil king. The Judah kings were about half good and half bad. One of the kings was named Manasseh. This character sacrificed one of his own sons on an altar to a demonic being, to a false god. And it's widely reputed for, I've seen it in many sources, that Isaiah, the great prophet, he put him in a hollow log and sawed him in half to kill him. So I suspect he can't get too much worse than Manasseh. Ironically, Manasseh repents after at the end of his life and God returns to him. So God's mercy and grace is staggering at times. But all that being said, this story we're talking about is the true king arrives 2,000 years ago. He fixes the situation and becomes the greatest story ever told, and it involves you and me. We're the ones who are the recipients. Let's see how that works out. So Jesus comes, and he turns the whole issue of the kingship upside down. And he came into the Roman Empire period. Now, that wasn't a true kingship. They had Caesars, but Caesars and kings are, for all practical purposes, pretty synonymous. The word of the Caesar was life or death. And it caught the Jewish people off guard because they didn't think Jesus was fulfilling the mandate of a Messiah. They thought the Messiah would throw off their earthly captors. Jesus did throw off their captor, which was Satan, but they missed it. Don't miss what's happening today. And Jesus, as he comes in, he sets a brand new standard. He says this, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority." So Jesus is already talking. He's talked about kingship already before, but now he's saying the rulers of the Gentiles. Gentiles are simply those people who don't believe. Could be any race, any group, just a non-believer. They view power and authority as grabbing the top rung and pushing everybody down. So Jesus comes in and says it's going to be different. And I've known this verse for a long time, but about 30 years ago, one time in prayer, I felt the Lord said, "Happy, you need to stop being a Gentile ruler." Boy, that really bothered me. I thought, what in the world do you mean I'm a Gentile ruler? He said, "You're asking your people to do things that you don't want to do." And what was the thing? It was simply, I was telling people, now you go out and witness to people every day at your work, home, and where, and I wasn't doing it. And the Lord said, "Don't you ever tell people to do things that you won't go first on." And I thought, that's really a good one. It's been one of my sort of lifestyle ways I think of living. If I'm going to ask you to be generous, I'm going to be generous. If I want you to have a prayer life, I'm going to have a prayer life. If I want you to witness, I'm going to witness. That's the way we ought to always be. We go first. We show others how it's done. So Jesus went on in that passage. He said, "It will not be where you lord it over people." He says, "It shall not be so among you. Whoever will be great among you must be your servant. Whoever would be first among you must be your slave or servant, even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and give his life." See, if you look at the kingship that we've been called to, it's more of a pushing people up rather than oppressing people down. It's getting under people, helping them come into their fullness. It's bringing hope and hurting into a broken world. And I've never seen a world more messed up than we live in today. We have job security for the rest of our lives, folks. You're not going to run out of hurting people, even if we have wonderful service every single week. Jesus did say laying down our lives is the greatest love of all. So how did Jesus demonstrate authority? Well, remember, he only did what he saw the Father doing, but he would go out and he would meet people and their problems. Sin, sickness, and poverty. There are really only three problems in this whole world. It's either an issue of sin, a sickness, or a poverty. He went after all three of them and defeated them. But he would meet people like he'd meet a leper, and instead of chasing him away or ignoring him, he'd heal him. He met hungry people, and instead of asking them for taxes, he fed them. He met people who were sinners. Instead of condemning them, he offered them forgiveness. See the difference in the two styles? He washed the feet instead of demanding honor. The night of his crucifixion, before his crucifixion, the disciples are arguing who would be the greatest, and he says, "Here's how it's done, boys," and gets down and washes their feet. "I am among you as one who serves." So how do we serve? By healing, delivering, helping the poor, all the ways that he did. You look what he did, that's what we're going to go do. Why? Because he loved us. And because he loved us, we're loved. And we go and pass on the same love. So he redefined greatness to rule is to serve. Upside down kingdom. You know, if you think about upside down, the throne was his cross. He wins victory by giving up his life instead of some big victory of in a wartime zone. His crown was purchased with love. We really do live in a different world, but he offers it to everybody who believe and confess that he's Lord. When you're born again, you're saved, get baptized, all things that show you're moving through the progression of growing up, Jesus is Lord. So how do we do this? How do we walk in this authority and this power? I want to talk about two things, your attitude and your actions. Attitude and actions. To live as royalty is way different than live as an orphan. Way too many believers don't understand they're sons and daughters of a king. And when you're a son and daughter of a king, you walk differently, you think differently, you act differently. Unfortunately, orphans think, "Nobody loves me. I don't have any power. I'm lowest on the totem pole. And that'll get you in trouble. So what about our thought life? Well, listen to this. After the resurrection, Jesus didn't just go to heaven and start ruling with an iron hand. He actually turns around and offers us what he has. He offers us his throne, if you will. We're seated with him in heavenly places. He shares everything he has. See, Adam lost authority. Jesus regains it. Now he shares it. You know, an interesting story. I love to read history. And in the American Revolution, when George Washington was the leading general of the revolution, and then he becomes president, leaders around the world were basically taking bets on whether or not he would proclaim himself king. But after two terms, he said, no, I'm leaving and somebody else needs to take over. You know that song, This Is Amazing Grace, you know, what king would leave his throne? Our king did. Jesus left it to all of us. In fact, if you look at the Great Commission, Jesus, this is the end of Matthew 28, 18. Jesus said, I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, you go and make disciples. Did you notice he said, I have all authority. Everything is his. And what does he do with it? He gives it to you and me. Now, let me ask you a question. If you've been reading your one-year Bible and you came through Ezekiel recently, do you have any verses in there you don't understand? I have lots of verses in there I don't understand. I even have some New Testament verses I don't understand. But how many of you have trouble understanding this? I have all authority. Jesus saying, I have all authority. I'm giving it to you. Does anybody have any questions what he meant? No, that one's pretty plain, isn't it? That one's pretty obvious. He says, you have it. John later in Revelation wrote, he has made us kings and priests. The royalty and the presence, kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on earth. See, we don't just admire his authority. We just don't sing about it. We walk in it. That's the way you admire his authority. You act like he acted. You become like him. Parents are always so proud when they see their little children doing the things they do, the good things they do. It's amazing how many bad things they can pick up too, isn't it? And it's a little embarrassing from time to time. In 1 John 4:17, the last part of that verse, it says, because all that Jesus now is, where is he? He's seated in heaven. He's the king of everything. He has all authority. So are we in this world. That's not very confusing either, is it? Unfortunately, we can read those verses, we admire those verses, but we don't always live those verses. So our attitude is transformed. Attitude, mindset, they go together. But you always act out of your mindset. If you think you have authority, you'll act that way. If you don't think you have authority, you'll run, hide behind the bush. See, we're to rule as he were. How did he do? He led by serving. He ministered by healing. He conquered by loving. That's a powerful combination. You begin to realize all this authority talk we do has some real meaning. Maybe in your home, your work, maybe in your neighborhood. I was talking to a football coach a few years ago, and he was moaning. He said, Happy, you have lots of authority, lots of influence. He said, I don't have any. I said, actually, you have more influence than I do. You have a far bigger pulpit than me. The whole state is looking at you. And as we talked it through, he said, yeah, I never looked at it that way. I didn't realize how much influence I could have. See, we're kings with a scepter of kindness. We have a whole understanding that's just different. We're going to lead the way Jesus led. We're going to get into places. We're going to have opportunities, and he's going to use us. So action or attitude is one. Now, what about action? Jesus didn't leave us without action. He says this in Matthew 16, I tell you the truth, you are Peter. On this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. Now listen to the keys he gives him. I give you the keys of the kingdom. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. These are the famous binding and loosing, or some translations say forbid and permit. You can use either side, but this is very practical advice. He's taking authority, and he's showing us how to use it. come in alignment with the kingdom. Okay, these are some things. These aren't magic words. Remember, we're doing what the Father's doing. When the Father comes on you to bind or loose something, you're able to do it. This is how kingdom authority is often released. It's not the only way, but it's one of the ways we release our authority. Speaking is important. God spoke and the worlds were formed. We speak and worlds are formed. Our words make worlds is a famous line out there. And it's so important that our words are meaningful. Don't use them carelessly. Swearing, all that stuff just gets you in the doghouse and into trouble. See, heaven is on our side in this situation. But let me give you some practical steps. Let's say you're married and having a problem, or you got a best friend and you're having a problem. So it's a relationship problem. What's going on? Well, it might be anger, strife, jealousy, greed, bitterness, unforgiveness, all kinds of stuff. Okay? So it's creating separation between the two of you. So you're going to take a look at, Holy Spirit, is this an issue we need to repent or change our mind? Is this an issue we need to renounce? Is something going on here we need to get away from? Or is this an issue of simply needing to declare the goodness of God? So we're going to speak with the authority that Jesus has given us. So let's say we have strife, anger, and unforgiveness in this relationship. So we're going to just speak out. I bind that strife, that anger, that unforgiveness that's wrecking this relationship. Or, on the other hand, you could say we're going to lose joy, peace, contentment, commitment, faithfulness, whatever you think would be helpful. But you can do this by speaking with husbands and wives can do it together. Friends can do it together. You can come and get a small group leader to do it. Pastor, somebody you know in the church. See, you're going to speak the authority of God, and God's going to back it up. That's what those passages mean. See, every word of faith, released in faith, brings heaven behind you. Doesn't mean it's going to happen immediately. There's sometimes spiritual warfare. It might take a few weeks, but heaven, angels, circumstances, Holy Spirit, everybody's pulling for us. They're working together. So again, we see that our authority is both very practical and very real. We can change circumstances. So we live in an upside down world. No question about it. If you want to reign, get a towel and get started. If you want to find somebody to work with, find the lost, the last, and the least. I guarantee there'll be a boatload of problems there. You can start working. The same Jesus who said, all authority is now his, is given to me. You go and make disciples. He said he'd be with us to the end of the age. And, you know, we've been talking about we want to see signs, wonders, and miracles. Do you know what he says in his Great Commission in Mark 16? You go say my words, and I'll be with you to the end of the age, and I'll pour out mighty miracles. Authority, it's tied in. Authority is the right to use the power we've been given when we were filled with the Holy Spirit. We win in the end. Here's how good it gets. He's calling you to be royalty and reign with him, not from a throne of gold, but a posture of grace. He's calling on us for the rest of our lives, not just to celebrate he's the king who came, but to live like the king who serves, heals, blesses beyond our imagination. Let's partner with him in bringing heaven to earth as we use the authority he gave us as his royal sons and daughters. Amen. Father, in Jesus' name, you are so, so good. Thank you for helping us understand some about our authority, helping us to walk in the fullness, and to help us begin to be a people of great authority and boldness in everything, proclaiming your words, doing your works, and living your ways. In Jesus' name, amen.